right now, time to think of warmer things, time to think of food and talk food. It is time to bring in Arthur Schwartz, the food maven. Arthur, of course, joins us on a Monday morning live, where we broadcast Arthur during the weekend, also on the weekend. Good morning, Arthur.
Good morning. 12 degrees.
Well, it was 12 degrees when I left. It's now up because I've been talking
I'm going to sneeze.
There you
my
go.
My morning sneezes.
I do that to people, but I've been talking for an hour and a half, so the temperature's been up.
Okay, good. I don't think it's freezing here at all, but anyway, it's gloomy, though.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm trying to look up today, even though it's a hysterical week and of high anxiety, for obvious reasons. But I'm still on my diet, and I'm down 30 pounds.
Congratulations.
Since Labor Day. Yeah, well, you know, it's a three, it's one of those zero things. anyway, I'm finally, after months now, getting a hang of this keto diet. And I realize I can allow myself a tiny bit more carbohydrate than I had been. So when I crave an egg roll, I can get it. I consider it a vegetable. Egg rolls are vegetables with a little too much carbohydrate. But all right. You know, it's one of my comfort foods, even from childhood. Or I should say stems from childhood. Anyway, one of the things that I finally am really getting is that you do indeed need to eat a lot of fat on this diet. And when I do eat a lot of fat and less protein, of course no carbs to speak of, I lose faster. So I'm into this little rule of keto dieting. Use your vegetables as a vehicle for fat. I can't give up my vegetables. I mean, it's a limited number of vegetables that you can eat, basically those that grow above ground. But still, that leaves you plenty. So the other, and also eggs, I must say, are heavily featured on this diet, which brings me to hollandaise sauce. There was some very nice-looking and well-priced asparagus from Peru in the store the other day. I have to say, I rarely buy out-of-season asparagus because they're often not only disappointing but bitter. But you know, my new rule is that I'm a globivore. I'll eat anything from anywhere there where it's in season. And apparently, asparagus is in season in Peru. Of course, they have opposite seasons to us. So the last time I bought Peruvian asparagus, they really were horrible. But I decided, you know, they were so well-priced, and it's one of those allowable vegetables. I said, let me try them. And, you know, they weren't bad. They weren't wonderful, you know, not like, you know, local great asparagus, or even, for that matter, California asparagus. Or Mexican asparagus, but which can be very good, but they come out in the spring. So anyway, the asparagus weren't so wonderful, but I thought, you know, hollandaise. I'm allowed hollandaise on this diet. Now, I have not made hollandaise sauce in, I don't know, 25 years probably. But I thought, let me do this. I haven't, you know, it's a little tricky, hollandaise. Now, so let me just say about hollandaise. It is one of the five mother sauces of French cuisine. And when I say French cuisine, I mean the codified cuisine of Carême and Escoffier. And they, I think Carême only had four mother sauces, and Escoffier added one, which was hollandaise, something like that. Anyway, the other ones are bechamel. You know, everybody knows bechamel, white sauce. Made with milk as the liquid and butter in the thickening, and thickened with flour. Espanol, which is a dark brown sauce, basically gravy. What else? Velouté, which to me is, you know, very much, it's bechamel, but the liquid is broth instead of milk. And anyway, I'm forgetting one, and hollandaise. So hollandaise everybody knows, from Eggs Benedict. But in fact, it is a very useful sauce, not just on eggs, not just on ham, not just on asparagus, but my most memorable hollandaise, in fact, one of my most memorable meals ever in my life, was when I went to visit the beaches in Normandy. And of course, Normandy is known for its butter. It's known for its fish, beaches, and of course, North Atlantic fish, wonderful fish. And who knew? Potatoes. So I went to visit the beaches of Normandy, which, you know, was moving, and I don't want to go into that, but what I do want to say is I had lunch at a restaurant on one of the beaches. Of course, it's a beach, so you're facing the sea, and or the ocean in this case, and as Italians always say, and the Turks always say, fish tastes best when you're facing the sea. Which reminds me of a story about spaghetti and clam sauce. The great, 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 great codifier, you could say, of Neapolitan cuisine, Giancarlo Francesconi, writes about clam sauce. She says, you know, it's a very good dish. We all love clam sauce. We meaning Neapolitans. We all love clam sauce, but to tell you the truth, it really tastes best when you're sitting on a terrace with the breeze in your hair under an umbrella from the bright midday Mediterranean sun. So, you know, it's sometimes just the environment that makes it great. So I tried to reproduce this meal of, in fact, so the meal I had on the beaches of Normandy was, I guess it was steamed turbot. Maybe it was poached turbot, but it was turbot cooked in moisture, one way or another. And boiled potatoes, the yellowest potatoes I've ever seen, and literally buckets of hollandaise sauce put on the table. This was not a formal restaurant. This was platters of food, platters of fish, platters of potatoes, and big bowls full of hollandaise. And what can I say? Facing the sea, facing the ocean. So I made hollandaise the other day, and I followed the proportions I remembered from Julia Child way back when, which was three egg yolks and 1.5 sticks of butter. And I don't remember if she tells you to use cold butter, or I think she does tell you to use cold butter, because how else would I learned this from Julia Child in the 60s. And so you take your two egg yolks, no, in this case, three egg yolks, and add a tablespoon of lemon juice, and beat it. Now, I use, and I do this, by the way, I do this in a very heavy, small saucepan, properly, because you're going to be careful when you, with egg yolks, you do it over a boiling water, not with the pan not even touching the boiling water, just over the steam in a double boiler. But you could do it in a, you could use a bowl, which I find is much better for whisking than most double boilers. Although there are double, I used to have a double boiler that had the top part was round, not flat, so you could in fact whisk over the bottom steaming water. In any case, you want gentle heat. My pot provides gentle heat, and I use what's called a Swedish whisk because it's not round. If it was round, I would use the normal French-style whisk, but the Swedish whisk is a flat whisk, and I find it gets into the corners of my normal, small, but very heavy saucepan. By the way, it's a copper saucepan coated in stainless steel, so you know, it's pretty heavy. It gets into those corners, and so there's nothing curdles or sticks in those corners. So you put the the two egg yolks with the tablespoon of lemon juice, a pinch of salt, in this pan or double boiler, and over low heat, you've got to beat and beat and beat and beat and beat until the egg yolks get really frothy. At that point, and thickened. So at that point, you add butter, at room temperature butter, not ice cold butter, cold butter, but not ice cold butter. Butter that's still holding its shape, for sure. And you beat that in with your whisk, one tablespoon at a time. It's going to take 1.5 sticks of butter. This is a reason why people shouldn't be eating, most people, if they're not on the keto diet, should not be eating hollandaise or any of the other children of hollandaise. I'm going to get to my favorite at the moment in a moment. So, that is hollandaise sauce. Now, I made it, the first time I made it, it was sublime. Of course, I adjusted the salt and the lemon juice at the end. You don't have to use lemon juice. You could use vinegar. I prefer lemon juice, and I like to make mine lemony and ever so slightly salty, too. And you can beat that all in at the very end to adjust it. It doesn't need an herb. That's it. That's hollandaise. That's the mother sauce. One of the five mother sauces. Now, mothers have children, implies, and my favorite, as I just said, it's not my new favorite. I always liked it, but I just only recently thought about it because at the back of my refrigerator, which I'm trying to edit, I don't know about you, but I keep a lot of condiments in the refrigerator.
I do too.
Pardon me?
I do too, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they don't all get used. And I've decided it's time to edit. So I'm going through a shelf of the refrigerator. And by the way, I have small refrigerators, too. And only one of them do I store the condiments. The other one is open too frequently for long storage. In any case, I find a jar of cornichons. I said, oh, cornichons. I should make sauce grebiche now that I'm into this, you know, vegetables as vehicles for fat. Sauce grebiche is a kind of mayonnaise, another child of, I don't know, maybe we should call grebiche a stepchild of the mother sauce. Because in this case, in the case of grebiche, you don't use raw egg yolks to make the sauce. You use the yolks of hard-cooked eggs, which you push through a fine strainer. I did this with the back of a spoon. To make my grebiche, I only needed two yolks, so it wasn't that much work. But it's the most work you will do, is sort of. Well, you have to beat a lot. Anyway, so two egg yolks, and you push them through the strainer. They will be nice and powdery. And into that, put a half teaspoon or so of Dijon mustard and, let's say, a tablespoon of lemon juice, and mix that all up together. And then little by little, I mean really drop by drop, add in 150 milliliters. That's like 5.5 ounces. It's not a third of, it's more than a third of a cup. It's less than a half a cup. You could say a third of a cup of neutral oil, meaning canola oil, peanut oil, plain old vegetable, mixed oil, whatever it is. I lately am using avocado oil only because I bought it to try it. Now I need to use it up. I would not use olive oil. I would use something way tamer than olive oil. So you beat in the oil drop by drop, or drizzle by drizzle, and whisking constantly, and really whisking hard. And eventually, you're going to end up with a kind of mayonnaise. And I must say, nice and yellow, because the cooked yolks make a much yellower product than the uncooked yolks. And, of course, the heftier amount of mustard in this than it is in a normal mayonnaise, for instance, adds some color, too. So you have this nice yellowy mayonnaise, and now you add all the additions, which are a tablespoon or so of finely minced tarragon. Now, I did not have tarragon, so I didn't use tarragon. I could have gone around the corner and gotten some, but I was really lazy. And I thought I had plenty of parsley, so I used that and an extra amount of. It wasn't the same. You need the tarragon. It really makes a big difference. And a tablespoon of capers. Now, I didn't use my salted capers that I always use for Italian cooking and other Mediterranean cooking, but I used the normal capers we always used to buy in the supermarket, packed in vinegar, in a liquid. You know, they're pickled capers, and they're tiny, nonpareil. Those tiny capers are the perfect thing for this. About a tablespoon of those. And I used 5 or 6 of my tiny cornichon. My cornichon were very small. And so I only had to slice them thinly. And I must say, it must have ended up being 1/4 cup of very thinly sliced cornichon, or what we call gherkins, but they're not pickled sweet the way American gherkins are. They're pickled sour the way we make sour pickles, but these are tiny, tiny, tiny pickles. You could use another pickle, by the way. I mean, you can be creative with this, too. If you wanted to mince up a good old American sour pickle, that would be fine. And capers, pickle, and, oh, you know, classically, if you want to really get 1830, which is pretty much when these sauces started coming about, if you really wanted to get 1830 on me, you could put in chervil. Now, chervil, actually, the sauce grabiche might have been created after the Hollandaise in 1830. But chervil is a very hard herb to find. In fact, I don't know where you'd get it. And I have tried growing it many times, and I'm not successful. I wish somebody would tell me what you do. Now that I don't have a garden, I can't do it. But it bolts very early in the summer. It attracts ants. But when you can get chervil, it's a divine herb. It's got a slight anise flavor. Parsley is no substitute, and it's no substitute for tarragon. So I'm putting, next time I make this, I'm going to put the tarragon in. It is classically served. We don't have to be classic, but it is classically served with a cold meats. And in fact, the first day we had it, we have some nice ham, and I've been slicing that thin on my slicer here for luncheon meat, but it's way better than a normal luncheon meat. And with sauce grabiche and some coleslaw, it was a pretty good lunch on the keto diet.
That sounds
now good. The other sauces, by the way, because siblings and cousins under the mother sauce of Hollandaise are, of course, mayonnaise. And mayonnaise is egg yolks emulsifying oil. Béarnaise, which is egg yolks emulsifying butter, but also with the addition of tarragon as an herb. And béarnaise is most often, I see on menus, served with steak, like you need butter on your steak. But if you're going to have it, it should be delicious seasoned butter. In essence. But béarnaise is actually thinner than a mayonnaise or a hollandaise. Oh, by the way, so I'm really into this hollandaise thing. And, of course, hollandaise is fabulous on spinach because, think about it, even Eggs Benedict comes sometimes with spinach. And it's excellent on classically on asparagus, I told you that, but also a béarnaise, which is, you know, as I said, mostly associated with meat, is also very good on poultry and vegetables also. And then what other A's is there? Hollandaise, béarnaise. Help me with this, Marshall.
Well, you said mayonnaise, my favorite kind.
Mayonnaise, yes, and grabiche. Except that the grabiche, I bet you there are other, I don't know them, but I bet you there are other aises or other sauces anyway that that use egg yolks as an emulsifier. And in fact, I remember this from my New York food history. This was a frequent technique in the old gay 90s and early part of the 20th century, before Prohibition. There were dishes where you made hollandaise and then folded in egg whites and poured this on top of the food. Is there any wonder? And then put it under the broiler to brown. Is there any wonder Diamond Jim Brady weighed 400 pounds or whatever it was? So, I mean, that was that era, the golden age of New York dining. It was actually pre-Prohibition. And then Prohibition ruined it because nobody wanted to eat this food without a lot of booze or wine. In fact, I watch a lot of old movies. And because Bob's pretty much a movie historian, and even published, I should say. And so we've watched too many old movies. And I can sort of date them by how people are drinking their booze. If they're drinking a lot of tea in this movie, you know it was done in the 20s or earliest 30s before Prohibition ended. Because that's what people did. They continue. In fact, it is documented. People drank more during Prohibition than they did before or after Prohibition.
That's right, because they couldn't have it, and so they double up on it. That's exactly right.
Yeah, you want what you can't have too.
Yeah,
is that and you know the. It was just something naughty that didn't seem so naughty,
You know, it's funny.
Real, to most people, it didn't seem all that naughty.
It's funny when you mentioned the hollandaise sauce. That's one of those things in life that for some reason I rejected for my whole life up until I became about 35 years old. I have no idea because I always...
Why?
I don't know because I always liked mayonnaise and, but I, for some reason... I was afraid to even try to sample it. My father used to get so mad at us when we wouldn't try to taste something. He would get so mad, and get visibly upset at us. You know, you open up your life. You got to try things. You got to experiment things. And
he was right.
He was. Not many
father
times my father didn't give that much great home advice, but he was right about that.
He was right about that. No, we all grow up to be our fathers or mothers.
Unfortunately, I've grown up to be my mother and grandmother.
Well, that happens too. Well, I see my father and myself in a lot of ways, but. I'm a combo too.
And now I'm
in a sort of a reminiscence phase here, only because I'm cleaning my office and finding things I've forgotten about. And then you have to decide: do I want to part with this? Do I want to give this limited storage space? And then, of course, there's a story with everything. And in fact, one thing, I have a bag full of story here I don't know what to do with. They're the recipe boxes. I think there are a dozen of them. The little 3x5 card file. Yeah. They're the recipe boxes of my now long deceased friend, Francesco De Rogati. And I have been through all these boxes. I mean, card by card, I did go through them all, and I pulled out a stack of things that I actually wanted to cook. But you learn a lot. I've said this on the air before, but I will say it again. You learn a lot from people's recipe collections about themselves. And I always knew that Francesco, although he was Italian, of an Italian-American American mother and Neapolitan father, that he was secretly French.
<That's right. laughs>
And you can tell by all the bechamel in his recipe, all the creamed, buttery dishes in his recipe files, that he was truly a Francophile.
Now, I do have a question. When you were saying about making hollandaise sauce, can you make hollandaise sauce by mixing it with a fork, or is that verboten?
You know, it's not that it's verboten. It's too difficult. Holland. I mean, I do mayonnaise with a fork.
Yeah.
But hollandaise requires a lot of beating, because you have to really get air incorporated into the egg yolks and make them thicken before you can start adding the butter. I should add, and also you have acid in there too. I should add that you have to keep your heat under control, and you got to keep beating. And if by some chance, and it happens, the sauce breaks, meaning the fat separates out, as long as it's not curdled, you can save it by adding another egg yolk. Take it off the heat. Beat in an additional egg yolk. Just keep beating until it all comes back together again. And it will. It'll be super rich. But, you know, that's not necessarily a bad thing. You may have to add a few more drops of lemon juice at the end. By the way, you can make hollandaise pretty thick. Or you can, by adding water, like for the 3 tablespoons, the 3 yolks and 1.5 sticks of butter proportion, I use a tablespoon of lemon juice, but also a tablespoon of water so it's not mayonnaise, so it doesn't turn into that thick. You don't want it that thick.
Yeah, no, you want it to.
You want it runny. Yeah. It can be more runny or less runny, but you want it runny. And béarnaise can be runnier, but should hold together, not separate. Even when you put it on a hot piece of meat, it should not separate. And anyway, I'm going to get out early today before they run out of tarragon.
All right. Well,
there is a market that I go to that I haven't been to since, I think I've been there once since COVID, but it was too scary, so I haven't been back. But in this market that caters to a number of different ethnic groups, from Middle East Muslims and Orthodox Jews, Chinese, I don't know what. In fact, I don't know what, uses tarragon in enormous bunches. I have a hunch it's Central Asian people who use the tarragon in these enormous bunches. They sell enormous branches of tarragon at this market for practically nothing, you know, like what the supermarket charges for a few sprigs in a plastic box.
All right.
Anyway.
Well, have a good day today, Arthur.
Well, today is an anxious, may I say, politically speaking, yes. It's really a disastrous week.
Yes.
And I can't wait for it to be over.
I think that makes you and about 80 million
other
people.
Yeah, but in my case, it may drive me to spaghetti.
All right. That's not a bad thing. All right.
Take care. Everybody,
Arthur.
Have a great week.
You too. Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, here on Robin Hood Radio, robinhoodradio.com. Underwriting support for Arthur Schwartz, the food maven, John Andrews Restaurant on the Hillsdale Road in South Egremont, 413-528-3467. And on the web, jarestaurant.com. Rubiner's Cheesemongers and Grocers on Main Street in Great Barrington, 413-528-0488, rubiners.com. Hillsdale Home Chef, more information, 518-325-7000, hgshomechef.com.